I'm now going to invite up Matt Lee, who is our preacher for tonight. Now, Matt, first, I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
That we ask everyone who ever does a talk.
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you ready?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your favourite sandwich?
This is good. There's a place, I used to go to Thurfield. There's like a sandwich shop on the big Leatherhead roundabout as you're driving in called the Lunchbox. You've got to go there. You've got to get the baguette and you've got to get the chicken and bacon mayonnaise with whatever salad you want. It will blow your mind, seriously.
Cool. Well, I expect to see everyone there tomorrow morning.
Yeah, if they're open.
If not, go after Christmas.
There we go.
And if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I don't know. I just like to fly. I think that'd be cool because then you wouldn't have to faff with airports. I think flying would be cool because then you could, yeah, then you could get to another country very quickly and the airports mainly. But yeah, there we go.
Cool, perfect. I'm going to pray for you now before you preach. Dear God, we thank you for Matt. We thank you that you've brought him here tonight to preach for us all. We pray that through him, you'll spread your word and that we'll all learn something. I pray that you'll be with Matt now as he speaks your word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, I feel like Britney Spears in this headset because it's over two ears, but hopefully I won't be that entertaining. Okay, so I asked Nico what to preach on, and he came back with Christmas, which is so this is what I've got. For those of you that don't know, my parents are Monica and Graham Lee. Monica's mum is German, and so every year we have a really fun fusion of German and English Christmas. And again, for those of you that don't know, Germans celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. So this Christmas, being like most others, we're driving down to Essex. And then on Christmas Day, we drive up and have a lovely English Christmas in Birmingham. What I'm going to start with is just talking about like the message of Christmas and the different traditions around it. And to think about different traditions, I got in touch with our resident representatives of the world outside of Ashdod, those being Nico and Mirky. And as you may expect, Argentinians celebrate Christmas with a barbecue. They also, like the Germans, have Christmas on Christmas Eve. And Nico was telling me how they go to church Christmas Eve evening. Am I right? Good. And then afterwards, they'll go back, have a barbecue. And then the kids get to stay up. And at midnight, they all shout Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, or whatever it is in Argentinian. And then that's their Christmas sort of done. And then they exchange some gifts at midnight. And then they exchange more gifts on Epiphany, which is, you may or may not know, but it's the 6th of January, and it's a day that a lot of cultures look at and remember the wise men and their gifts. And also, Nico, I'm just going to put this one in there for you. He did like to rub in the fact that he spent most Christmas Eves in the pool. Finland, on the other hand, shout out to Mirky, they don't really have pools because it's quite chilly. And I really like this tradition that she shared with me, that actually, a big part of Christmas here and there is remembrance. And on Christmas Eve, they go to graveyards with candles and they put them on the graves. And they also have this beautiful like memorial for people that don't have graves or are unmarked. And they remember their past family and friends. Again, also have to mention that in Finland, they celebrate Christmas in the sauna. So what similarities can be drawn between our English Christmas, our German Christmas, Argentinian and Finnish? Well, they're all centered on community, on celebration, and on respect. I think what I'd just like to point out is that Christmas is interpreted and translated different in different cultures. However, despite there being different traditions, all these celebrations are for the birth of Jesus and for light into darkness. And that is the message of Christmas, is light into darkness, which is what I preached on in August for anyone that was here. And my favourite tradition that shows that is Midnight Mass. And I think that it's really easy to get caught up in the big lights of Winter Wonderland or Oxford Street or this incredible installation that took, I believe, three individuals 15 hours to make. So can we give them a quick round of applause? Wow. It's very easy to get caught up in that, get caught up in the loud music blaring out of the Ashley Centre, and forget how innocent and how quiet and how humble Jesus came into the world. And so we have Midnight Mass, which is middle of the night and often candlelit depending on the service you attend. And for me, those gentle candlelights depict how gentle and innocent Jesus was when he came. So yeah, light into darkness, the message of Christmas. Now, the Nativity. I'm sure the majority of you have starred or been in, or even seen, a nativity. I hate to break it to you, but the wise men, the shepherds, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, maybe Santa, all in one building, isn't actually written in the Bible. I know. But other than Santa, all the elements are in the Bible. However, there are over two Gospels. And yeah, again, two Gospels. So I'll give you a quick, brief summary. And if you want the readings, you can go to the start of these two Gospels. So in Matthew, we learn that Joseph wants a divorce because his to-be wife is pregnant. Then the angel appears and tells him it's God's child. Then they go to Bethlehem. And then the wise men enter the story. In Luke, the angel appears to Mary. Luke tells us about the census, so why Joe and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. We learn in one line about the inn and the manger, one line. And we are also told about the shepherds and the heavenly host of angels. And in the Gospel of Mark and John, you guessed it, there is absolutely nothing. Now, to fully unpack everything would be really tedious for me and for you. However, I did come up with two questions about the Nativity story, the two Gospels, etc., etc. So one, question number one, why does one Gospel talk about shepherds and the other talk about wise men? And question number two, what is the context of these two stories? So let's go ahead with that. So why shepherds and wise men? Well, shepherds were working class and were often very poor. They often slept with their sheep because their sheep were their livelihood. And because they often travelled around, they may have found it really hard to be accepted in a community other than their own. They may, because yeah, they're moving around between different villages, they may or may not have been actually welcomed in. And then I thought, what's a modern day example of a shepherd? I mean, and there is like a long list that you could consider, but I came up with an individual that's struggling to make ends meet and is trying their best. Even though it's difficult to measure whether someone is poor, the SMC estimates that 14.3 million people in the UK are in poverty. On the other hand, you have wise men. And we know that wise men were not poor because they brought gold, frankincense and myrrh, all of which are flipping expensive. The wise men, our word wise men, comes from the Greek word magi, which is in our English word magician. And so a lot of scholars think that wise men were a mix between early scientists and magicians. And therefore, we can't really doubt that they were clever and also respected. In fact, they were so respected they could have an audience with King Herod. A present-day equivalent might be an academic, a really successful academic, or someone born into a lot of money who has both a great education at one of the top schools in a country and also lots of wealth. So let's just process all of that. In one story, we have a group of people who are struggling to make ends meet. And in the other story, we have wealthy and very educated individuals. But both are invited to behold the baby Jesus. God calls both sets of people in their own way. The shepherds are met in their fields by a host of angels. You can't really deny how crazy that is to be just chilling in your field like every other day and a whole host, a whole crowd of angels appear. Well, the wise men followed prophecies and followed a star to find a king and actually saw a baby in a stable behind a pub. The two stories don't contradict each other. In fact, they reveal more about the importance of Jesus' birth because it is accessible to everyone, whether we care for sheep, whether we have the best understanding of the universe in our time, or whether we live in Ashdod in 2019. And now the second question I asked earlier is, what is the context of these two stories? Well, lots of things in the Bible only appear once. And yeah, there are two Gospels that don't mention Jesus' birth, but two Gospel writers thought it was relevant enough to include it. And the fact that it comes or appears twice shows how important it actually is. In fact, what also shows how important it is that this is now a Christian festival and is celebrated 2,000 years after the birth of Christ. And again, when I was thinking about this, 2,000 years. So if we look into the future, 2,000 years, that's 4,019. Jesus was born in a stable, and we hear this every year, and it is important to remember because it's important to remember how humbly he came. However, what we don't always ask is, what type of world did he come into? And now I'll hopefully try and do some biblical history stuff. So the Jews were living in a harsh political climate. I'll give you a quick rundown of Israel. After King David and his son King Solomon, there was a division in Israel, and you had the state of Israel and the state of Judah. Then you have the Babylonian exile, which we all have heard about at some point in the church sermon. And then, for the remaining time until Jesus' birth, the Jews were ruled by Persians, Greeks, and Romans. There hadn't been a true Jewish king for over 500 years. Again, we thought about 2,000 years and dwell on that, but imagine being in this country and not being ruled by your king for 500 years. And then in comes a baby Jesus, light to a very dark world. And then here again, we see a link to the present day. Regardless of what you voted on December the 12th, Brexit, dare I say it, general elections, nationalism, strikes, it's quite politically confusing and dark right now. And that's not even to mention yellow vests, Hong Kong, the conflicts brought about by Trump. But 2,000 years ago, a baby was born into a world that was as dark as it is today. How important is one baby in a world of 7.8 billion people? How important is a baby in a world of extreme privilege and extreme poverty? I wonder, what type of family, if Jesus was born in Ashdod, what type of family would he have been born into? A Tory family? A Labour family? Maybe he would have been a Lib Dem. But it doesn't matter, because Jesus was born with no political affiliation. Instead, he brought us two instructions. And now, Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so to wrap up all of that, no matter what your traditions at Christmas, I encourage you to remember the same message that lies at the heart of it all. This light into darkness. I can guarantee that there will be some interesting political debates at the Lee family Christmas dinner. However, I also encourage you to remember this. Jesus' message of love undermines politics and instead preaches respect and acceptance. Christmas is about Christ coming to everyone. Wise men and shepherds, left and right, all the nations. It's not about polarizing opinions. It's about trying to show love to all your family, however difficult your crazy cousin's opinion is. And Father, I pray that we don't get lost in all the lights and in all the annoying Christmas music. Lord, I pray that we remember your truth, that we remember that you came and you come to us all, that you came as an innocent baby, and you came into a very dark, harsh world. But you came and you still come to die for us, to save us, to set us free. I pray that we remember your message of love and we remember your message of acceptance this Christmas. Amen.
Hi, I grew up here in St. George's until a few years ago when I moved to Southampton to study philosophy at the university there. So after graduating at university, I did an internship year at my church in Southampton, and since September I've been doing a ministry trainee role there. I'm called a STEP trainee, which stands for Study, Train, Equip and Prepare. And that's what I'm doing. I'm preparing for potentially going to Christian ministry. I'm doing that over 2 to 3 years there. My week kind of is two things. Part-time, I'm working at the church, so I'm particularly working with 11 to 18-year-olds, so the youth there. So my week comprises of preparing Bible studies for our Sunday and midweek groups and other fun activities, and doing a load of administration throughout the week as well. Next calendar year, I'll also be doing a range of kind of non-youth things to give me a broader understanding of church ministry. The rest of my week is spent doing a master's. So I'm doing a master's in Christian ministry with an organisation called Crosslands. They're set up by Oak Hill and Acts 29. And they basically equip people to be able to train to a master's in Christian ministry whilst they're working at a church. So it's a distance course part-time. I've so far done a module in Bible exposition, so unpacking piece of scripture, and I'm currently doing a module in biblical theology, seeing the overarching theme that runs through all of the Bible. This term has been really exciting. We've had loads of young people come along. I think we've probably got about 50 people who come to at least one thing a week, and actually across the term, about 100 people who've come to at least one thing, which is really exciting. I think a highlight has been our big weekend away, where we had 40 young people come, so ranging right from 11 to 18, hearing about how God makes himself known, how God reveals himself. It was a really exciting time to see the community in action, see them grow, and it's got me excited for the year ahead. And frankly, if a child says to you, I'm not a Christian, but you know, my aunt became a Christian by spending time with Christians, and I think the same is happening to me. I mean, if that doesn't get you excited, working with young people, I don't know what will. I think coming up, some really exciting things are I'm going to be working with the 16 to 18-year-olds, doing a home group, which is really new to me, new age range, new kind of thing. So I'd really appreciate your prayers for leading that. There's a couple of us doing it, but really would appreciate your prayers for that. And I'm also going to be working towards starting up a mentoring one-to-one scheme, which is something I really benefited from as a university student, and I'd be really keen to see young people have the same opportunity to have that. I'd really appreciate your prayers for that and for the young people as they hear about who God is and respond to him for themselves. If you'd like to hear a bit more about what I'm doing, I'd love to chat. Please do come and grab me after the service. I'm really keen to share. And if you're interested, I've got some of these. These are letters just saying a bit about what I do and an opportunity for you to sign up to pray for some of the things that are going on with my work, and also an opportunity for people to support me financially if they're able to. Thank you.
Hi, probably know me and the family quite well, having grown up here my entire life. Currently a second year student at Sheffield Hallam University, and I'm studying real estate. I found a church this year. I did not find a church last year. It was sad, and it was hard, especially when I came back here for summer. And everyone was so lovely, and you missed church, and you realise how much you missed it. So I was on a night out on the second week of university, on a bar call that they like to do across universities, especially in the north. It's called a North Midland South Divide Bar Crawl, and everybody's wearing coloured T-shirts from where you're from. Now, being at a university in Sheffield, not many people from the south go there. So I made it my mission, as one of the only people in the room wearing a red T-shirt, to make friends with anybody wearing a red T-shirt. And I bumped into this random guy who's from Dorking, believe it or not. So just pointed him out in the crowd, said, you're wearing a red T-shirt, where are you from? And he goes to a church 5 minutes down my road. It was brilliant. And he invited me, and I've been completely welcomed by the most amazing group of students. And I go to a house group, and I got my friends to come to the carol service this year, and now even three of them want to come to Alpha in January. I'm very excited, and I'm very happy.